Act 2 of The Yeoman of the Guard.
Jests of Hugh Ambrose, number 7863, The Poor Wit and the Rich Counselor. A certain poor wit, being anhungered, did meet a well-fed counselor. "Merry fool," quoth the counselor, "whither away?" "In truth," said the poor wag, "in that I have eaten naught these 2 days, I do wither away, and that right rapidly. The counselor laughed hugely and gave him a sausage. The counselor was easier to please than my new master, the lieutenant. I would like to take post under that counselor. Tis but melancholy mumming when poor, heartbroken, jilted Jackpoint must needs turn to Hugh Ambrose for original light humor.
Oh, Master Point.
Ah, friend jailer, jailer that wast, jailer that never shall be more, jailer that jailed not, or that jailed if jail he did so unjailerly that 'twas but jerry jailing or jailing in joke, though no joke to him who by unjailer-like jailing did so jeopardize his jailership. Oh, come, take heart, smile, laugh, wink, twinkle, thou tormentor that tormentest none, thou wrecker that wreckest not, thou pincher out of place, come, take heart and be merry as I am. As I am.
Aye, it's well for thee to laugh. Thou hast a good post, and hast cause to be merry.
Cause? Have we not all cause? Is not the world a big butt of humour into which all who will may drive a gimlet? See, I am a salaried wit, and is there aught in nature more ridiculous? A poor, dull, heartbroken man who must needs be merry or he will be whipped, who must rejoice lest he starve, who must jest you, jibe you, quip you, crank you, rack you, riddle you from hour to hour, from day to day, from year to year, lest he dwindle, perish, starve, pine, and die. Why, when there's naught else to laugh at, I laugh at myself till I ache for it.
Yet I've often thought that a jester's calling would suit me to a hair.
Thee? Would suit thee, thou death's head and crossbones?
Aye, I have a pretty wit, a light, airy, joysome wit, spiced with anecdotes of prison cells and the torture chamber. Oh, a very delicate wit. I've tried it on many a prisoner, and there have been some who smiled. Now it is not easy to make a prisoner smile, and it should not be difficult to be a good jester, seeing that thou art one.
Difficult? Nothing easier, nothing easier. Attend, and I will prove it to thee. Oh, a private buffoon is a light-hearted loon, if you listen to popular rumour. From the morn to the night, he's so joyous and bright, and he bubbles with wit and good humour. He's so quaint and so terse, both in prose and in verse, yet though people forgive his transgression, there are one or two rules that all family fools must observe if they love their profession. There are one or two rules, half a dozen maybe, that all family fools of whatever degree must observe if they love their profession. If you wish to succeed as a jester, you'll need to consider each person's auricular. What is all right for B would quite scandalize C, for C is so very particular. And D may be dull, and E's very thick skull is as empty of brains as a ladle. While F is F sharp, and will cry with a carp that he's known your best joke from his cradle. When your humour they flout, you can't let yourself go, and it does put you up when a person says, oh, I have known that old joke from my cradle. If your master is surly from getting up early, and tempers are short in the morning, an inopportune joke is enough to provoke him to give you at once a month's warning, then if you refrain, he is at you again, for he likes to get value for money. He'll ask then and there, with an insolent stare, if you know that you're paid to be funny. It adds to the task of a merriman's place when your principal asks for the scowl on his face, if you know that you're paid to be funny. Comes a bishop, maybe you're a solemn DD. Oh, beware of his anger provoking. Better not pull his hair to stick pins in his chair. He don't understand practical joking. If the jest that you crack have an orthodox smack, you may get a bland smile from these sages. But should they by chance be imported from France, half a crown is stuffed out of your wages. It's a general rule, though your zeal it may quench, if the family fool tells a joke that's too French, half a crown is stuffed out of his wages. Though your head it may rack with a bilious attack, and your senses with toothache you're losing, don't be mopey and flat, they don't fine you for that, if you're properly quaint and amusing. Though your wife ran away with a soldier that day, and took with her your trifle of money, bless your heart, they don't mind, they're exceedingly kind. They don't pain you as long as you're funny. It's a comfort to feel if your partner should fit. Though you suffer a deal, they don't mind it a bit. They don't pain you so long as you're funny. And so thou wouldst be a jester, eh?
Aye.
Now listen. My sweetheart, Elsie Maynard, was secretly wed to this Fairfax half an hour ere he escaped.
She did well.
She did nothing of the kind, so hold thy peace and perpend. Now, while he liveth, she is dead to me and I to her. And so, my gibes and jokes notwithstanding, I am the saddest and the sorriest dog in England.
Thou art a very dull dog indeed.
Now, if thou wilt swear that thou didst shoot this Fairfax while he was trying to swim across the river, it needs but the discharge of an arquebus on a dark night, and that he sank and was seen no more, I'll make thee the very Archbishop of Jesters, and that in 2 days' time. Now what sayest thou?
I am to lie.
Heartily. But thy lie must be a lie of circumstance, which I will support with the testimony of eyes, ears, and tongue.
And thou wilt qualify me as a jester?
As a jester among jesters. I would teach thee all my original songs, my self-constructed riddles, my own ingenious paradoxes. Nay, more, I will reveal to thee the source whence I get them. Now, what sayest thou?
Why, if it be but a lie thou wantest of me, I hold it cheap enough. And I say, yes, it is a bargain.
Hereupon we both agreed on the plea to do agree to be secure by solemn deed to prevent all elemental. You announce the out to call with the starry grim and gory
of this Fairfax died alone. I declare to you to swear it.
I just swear it.
I declare it.
I just swear it.
I declare it.
I just swear it.
You declare it.
I declare it.
Tell a tale of cock and bull, of convincing details. Tale defenders, hand defenders, what a tale of cock and bull. In return for your imparting, I am making undertaking to instruct you in the art, art amazing, wonder raising of a jester, jesting free, proposition, high ambition. And the lively one I'll be, wag a wagging, never flagging.
Wag a wagging,
never flagging.
Wag a wagging,
never flagging.
Wag a wagging,
wag a wagging,
wag a wagging.
Tell a tale of cock and bull, all convincing details. Tail tremendous, hand defenders, what a tale of cock and bull.
What a tale of cock,
what a tale of bull.
What a tale of cock,
what a tale of bull.
What a tale of cock and bull,
cock and bull,
cock and bull.
Hand defenders, what a tale of cock and bull.
Days gone, and no news of poor Fairfax. The dolts! They seek him everywhere, save within a dozen yards of his dungeon. So, I'm free! Free. But for the cursed haste with which I hurried headlong into the bonds of matrimony with heaven knows whom. As far as I remember, she should have been young, but even had not her face been concealed by her kerchief, I doubt whether in my then plight I should have taken much note of her. Free? Pah! The Tower bonds were but a thread of silk compared with these conjugal fetters, which I, fool that I was, placed upon mine own hands. From the one I broke readily enough. How to break the other?
Free from his fetters grim, free to depart, free both in life and limb, in all but heart, bound to an unknown bride for good and ill. Ah, he's not one so tied, a prisoner still, a prisoner still. Ah, he's not one so tied, a prisoner still. Fetters held till his last hour, gyves that no smith can weld, no rust devour. Although a monarch's hand had set him free, of all the captive band, the saddest he, the saddest he. Of all the captive band, the saddest,
Sergeant Merrill, and how fares thy pretty charge, Elsie Maynard?
Well enough, sir. She's quite strong again, and leaves us tonight.
Thanks to Dame Carruthers' kind nursing, eh?
Hey, deuce, take the old witch. Ah, 'twas but a sorry trick you played me, sir, to bring the fainting girl to me. It gave the old lady an excuse for taking up her quarters in my house, and for the last 2 years I've shunned her like the plague. Another day of it, and she would have married me. Good Lord, here she is again. Eileen, go.
Nay, Sergeant Merrill, don't go. I've something of grave import to say to thee.
It's coming.
Faith, I think I'm not wanted here.
Nay, Master Leonard, I've naught to say to thy father that his son may not hear.
True. I'm one of the family. I've forgotten.
'Tis about this Elsie Maynard. A pretty girl, Master Leonard.
Aye, fair as a peach blossom. What then?
She hath a liking for thee, if I mistake not.
With all my heart. She's as dainty a little maid as you'll find in a midsummer day's march.
Then be warned in time, and give not thy heart to her. Oh, I know what it is to give my heart to one who will have none of it.
Aye, she knows all about that. And why is my boy to take heed of her? She's a good girl, Dame Carruthers.
Good enough, for aught I know. But she's no girl. She's a married woman.
A married woman? Tush, old lady. She's promised to Jack Point, the lieutenant's new jester.
Tush in thy teeth, old man. As my niece Kate sat by her bedside today, this Elsie slept. And as she slept, she moaned and groaned and turned this way and that way. And how shall I marry one I have never seen, quoth she. Then, 100 crowns, quoth she. Then, is it certain he will die in an hour, quoth she. Then, I love him not, and yet I am his wife, quoth she. Is it not so, Kate?
Aye, aunt, 'tis even so.
Art thou sure of all this?
Aye, sir, for I wrote it all down on my tablets.
Now mark my words. It was of this Fairfax she spake. And he is her husband, or I'll swallow my kirtle.
Is this true, sir?
True? Why, the girl was raving. Why should she marry a man who had but an hour to live?
Marry? There be those who would marry but for a minute rather than die old maids.
I know one of them.
Maiden wedded to the groom she'd never seen.
Never seen.
Groom about to be beheaded in an hour of Tower Green.
Tower Green.
Groom in dreary dungeon lying. Groom as good as dead.
Tis no such ill plunge in fortune's lucky bag. I might have fared worse with my eyes open. But she comes now to test her principles. Tis not every husband who has a chance of wooing his own wife. Mistress Elsie.
Master Leonard.
So thou leavest us tonight?
Yes, Master Leonard. I have been kindly tended, and I almost fear I am loath to go.
And this Fairfax? Wast thou glad when he escaped?
Why, truly, Master Leonard, it is a sad thing that a young and gallant gentleman should die in the very fullness of his life.
Then when thou didst faint in my arms, it was for joy at his safety.
It may be so. I was highly wrought, Master Leonard, and I am but a girl, and so when I am highly wrought, I faint.
Now, dost thou know I am consumed with a parlous jealousy?
Thou? And of whom?
Why, of this Fairfax, surely.
Of Colonel Fairfax?
Aye. Shall I be frank with thee? Elsie, I love thee ardently, passionately. Elsie, I have loved thee these 2 days, which is a long time, and I would fain join my life to thine.
Master Leonard, thou art jesting.
Jesting? May I shrivel into raisins if I jest. I love thee with a love that is a fever, with a love that is a frenzy, with a love that eateth up my heart. What sayest thou? Thou wilt not let my heart be eaten up.
Oh, mercy, what am I to say?
Dost thou love me, or hast thou been insensible these 2 days?
I love all brave men.
Nay, there is love in excess. I thank heaven there are many brave men in England. But if thou lovest them all,
I withdraw my thanks.
I love the bravest best. But, sir, I may not listen. I am not free. I am a wife.
Thou? A wife? Whose? His name? His hours are numbered. Nay, his grave is dug and his epitaph set up. Come, his name.
Oh, sir, keep my secret. It is the only barrier that fate could set up between us. My husband is none other than Colonel Fairfax.
The greatest villain unhung. The most ill-favored, ill-mannered, ill-natured, ill-omened, ill-tempered dog in Christendom.
It is very like. He is naught to me, for I never saw him. I was blindfolded, and he was to have died within the hour. And he did not die. And I am wedded to him, and my heart is broken.
He was to have died, and he did not die. The scoundrel, the perjured, traitorous villain. Thou shouldst have insisted on his dying first, to make sure. 'Tis the only way with these Fairfaxes.
I now wish I had.
Bloodthirsty little maiden. A fig for this Fairfax. Be mine, he will never know. He dares not show himself. And if he dare, what art thou to him? Fly with me, Elsie. We shall be married tomorrow, and thou shalt be the happiest wife in England.
Master Leonard, I am amazed. Is it thus that brave soldiers speak to poor girls? Oh, for shame, for shame. I am wed, not the less because I love not my husband. I am a wife, sir, and I have a duty. And, oh, sir, thy words terrify me. They are not honest. They are wicked words and unworthy thy great and brave heart. Oh, shame upon thee, shame upon thee.
Nay, Elsie, I did but jest. I spake but to try thee.
Hark, what was that, sir?
Why, an arquebus fired from the wharf, unless I much mistake.
Strange, and at such an hour, what can it mean?
A shot so late at night, enough to cause a fight. What can the bullet be?
A foeman in the land is found.
A foeman in the land is found. To be rich, expect what danger is at hand. Expect what danger is at hand. What danger is at hand?
Who fired that shot? At once the truth declare.
My lord, 'twas I. Too rashly judge forbear.
My lord, 'twas he. Too rashly judge forbear.
Like a ghost his vigil keeping.
Or the spectre all appalling.
I beheld the figure creeping.
I should rather call it crawling.
He was creeping.
He was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping,
crawling.
He was creeping.
He was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping,
crawling.
Not a moment's hesitation I myself upon him flung. With a hurried exclamation to his draperies I hung. Then we closed one another in a rough and tumble smother. Colonel Fairfax and no other was a man to whom I clung.
Colonel Fairfax and no other. Colonel Fairfax and no other. Colonel Fairfax and no other was a man to whom he clung.
After mighty tug and tussle,
it resembled more a struggle.
He bite into stronger muscle,
or by some infernal juggle.
From me clutches quickly sliding,
I should rather call it zipping.
With the view load out of hiding,
on escaping to the shipping.
With a gasp and with a quiver,
I describe it as a shiver.
Down he dived into the river, and alas, I cannot swim.
It's enough to make one shiver, with a gasp and with a quiver.
Down he dived into the river.
Ingenuity is scatting with the view my king of pleasing our bebuts and sent you snatching.
I should rather call it seizing.
With an ounce or two of lead, I dispatch him through the head.
With an ounce or two of lead, he dispatch him through the head.
I discharge it without winking. Little time I lost in thinking, like a stone I saw him sinking.
I should say a lump of lead.
He discharge it without winking. Little time he lost in thinking.
Like a stone I saw him sinking.
I should say a lump of lead.
Like a stone before I said.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Like a stone before I said.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Anyhow the man is dead, with a stone or lump of lead.
Anyhow the man is dead, and with a stone or lump of lead.
Stone.
Lead.
must be dragged. No time be lost. The body must be found at any cost. To this attend without undue delay. So set to work with what dispatch ye may.
Yes, yes, we set to work with what dispatch we may.
As he had to die, he might as well die thus as any other way. 'Twas a good death.
Still, he was my husband, and had he not been, he was nevertheless a living man, and now he is dead. And so, by your leave, my tears may flow unchidden, Master Point.
And thou didst see all this?
Aye, with both eyes at once, this and that. The testimony of one eye is naught, he may lie. But when it is corroborated by the other, it is good evidence that none may gainsay. Here are both present in court, ready to swear to him.
But art thou sure it was Colonel Fairfax? Saw you his face?
Aye, and a plaguey ill-favoured face, too. A very hangdog face, a felon face, a face to fright the headsman himself and make him strike awry. Oh, a plaguey bad face. Take my word for it. Oh, how they laugh. 'Tis ever thus with simple folk. An accepted wit has but to say, pass the mustard, and they roar their ribs out.
If ever I come to life again, thou shalt pay for this, Master Point.
Now, Elsie, thou art free to choose again. So behold me. I am young and well favored. I have a pretty wit. I can jest you, jibe you, quip you, crank you, rack you, riddle you.
Tush, man, thou knowest not how to woo. 'Tis not to be done with time-worn jests and threadbare sophistries, with quips, conundrums, rhymes, and paradoxes. 'Tis an art in itself, and must be studied gravely and conscientiously.
A man who would woo a fair maid should prentice himself to the trade and study all day in methodical way how to flatter, cajole, and persuade. He should prentice himself at 14 and practice from morning to e'en. And when he's of age, if he will, I'll engage he may capture the heart of a queen. The heart of a queen.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every jack he must study the knack if he wants to make sure of his jill. If he wants to make sure of his jill.
If he's made the best use of his time, his tweak is so carefully lined, that every paper come down at his mill, and whatever its plumage or climb, he must learn that the thrill of a touch may mean little or nothing or much. It's an instrument rare to be handled with care, and ought to be treated as such. Oh, to be treated as such.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every jack he must study the nag if he wants to make sure of his jill. If he wants to make sure of his jill.
Then a glance may be timid or free. It will vary in mighty degree. From an impudent stare to a look of despair that no maid without pity can see. and a glance of despair is no guide. It may have its ridiculous side. It may draw you a tear or a box on the ear. You can never be sure till you've tried. Never be sure till you've tried.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every jackie must study the nag if he wants to make sure of his chip. If he wants to make sure of his chip. But every jackie must study the nag. A chip must study the nag. If he wants to make sure of his chip. Yes, every jack must study the nag. If he wants to make sure.
Listen to me. It is done thus. Mistress Elsie, there is one here who, as thou knowest, loves thee right well.
That he does, right well.
He is but a man of poor estate, but he had a loving, honest heart. He will be a true and trusty husband to thee, and if thou wilt be his wife, thou should lie curled up in his heart like a little squirrel in its nest.
"'Tis a pretty figure. A maggot in a nut lies closer, but a squirrel will do.
He knoweth that thou wast a wife, an unloved and unloving wife, and his poor heart was near to breaking. But now that thine unloving husband is dead, and thou art free, he would fain pray that thou wouldst hearken unto him and give hope that thou wouldst one day be his.
He presses her hands, and he whispers in her ear, "Hot bodikins, what does it mean?
Now, sweetheart, tell me, wilt thou be this poor good fellow's wife?
If the good, brave man, is he a brave man?
So men say.
It's not true, but let it pass.
If the brave man will be content with a poor, penniless, untaught maid.
Widow, but let that pass.
I will be his true and loving wife, and that with my heart of hearts.
My own dear love.
Why, what's all this? Brother, brother, it's not seemly.
Oh, I can't let that pass. Hold! Enough, Master Leonard. An advocate should have his fee, but methinks thou art overpaying myself.
Nay, that is for Elsie to say. I promised thee I would show thee how to woo, and herein lies the proof of the virtue of my teaching. Go thou and apply it elsewhere.
When a wooer goes a-wooing, naught is truer than his joy.
Maiden hushing all his suing, boldly blushing, bravely coy, bravely coy.
Boldly blushing,
boldly blushing, bravely coy.
Oh, the happy days of
all the happy days of doing, all the sighing and the suing, when the wooer goes a-wooing, all the sweets that never clone.
When a brother leaves his sister for another, sister weeps, tears that trickle, tears that blister, tis but meekle sister reaps. Tears that trickle, tears that blister.
All the doing and undoing,
all the doing and undoing, all the sighing and the suing, when a brother goes a-wooing, and the sobbing sister weeps.
When the jester is outwitted, feelings fester, heart is led, food for fishes only fitted, jester wishes he was dead, food for fishes only fitted, jester wishes he was dead.
All the doing and undoing, all the sighing
I helped that man to escape, and I've kept his secret and pretended that I was his dearly loving sister and done everything I could think of to make folk believe I was his loving sister. And this is his gratitude. Before I pretend to be sister to anybody again, I'll turn nun and be sister to everybody, one as much as another.
In tears, eh? What a plague art thou grizzling for now?
Why am I grizzling? Thou hast often wept for jealousy. Well, 'tis for jealousy I weep now. Ay, yellow, bilious, jaundiced jealousy. So make the most of that, Master Wilfred.
But I have never given thee cause for jealousy. The lieutenant's cookmaid and I are but the merest gossips.
Jealous of thee? Bah! I'm jealous of no craven cock on a hill who crows about what he'd do and he dared. I'm jealous of another and a better man than thou. Set that down, Master Wilfred. And he is to marry Elsie Maynard, the little pale fool. Set that down, Master Wilfred. And my heart is well nigh broken. There, thou hast it all. Make the most of it.
The man thou lovest is to marry Elsie Maynard? Why, that is no other than thy brother, Leonard Merrill.
What have I said?
Why, what manner of brother is this, thou lying little jade? Speak! Who is this man whom thou hast called brother, and fondled, and coddled, and kissed, with my connivance too? Oh, Lord, with my connivance! Ah! Should it be this Fairfax? It is! It is this accursed Fairfax! It's Fairfax! Fairfax, who...
Who now has just shot through the head, and who lies at the bottom of the river.
I may have been mistaken. We are but fallible mortals, the best of us. But I'll make sure. I'll make sure.
Stay! One word. I think it cannot be Fairfax. Mind, I say, I think, because thou hast just slain Fairfax. But whether he be Fairfax or no Fairfax, he is to marry Elsie, and thou hast shot him through the head, and he is dead. Be content with that, and I will be thy wife.
Is that sure?
Aye, sure enough, for there's no help for it. Thou art a very brute. But even brutes must marry, I suppose.
Oh, my beloved.
Oh.
Phoebe, Phoebe, rejoice, for I bring glad tidings. Colonel Fairfax's reprieve was signed 2 days since, but it was foully and maliciously kept back by Secretary Poultwhistle, who designed that it should arrive after the Colonel's death. It has just come to hand, and it is now in the Lieutenant's possession.
And the Colonel is free. Kiss me, my dear. Kiss me again and again.
Odds bobs! Get him alive! Art thou mad? Am I mad? Are we all mad?
Oh, my dear, my dear. I'm well nigh crazed with joy.
Come away from him, thou hussy. Thou jade. Thou kissing, clinging cockatrice. And as for thee, sir, devil take thee. I'll rip thee like a herring for this. I'll skin thee for it. I'll cleave thee to the chine, I'll... Oh, Phoebe, Phoebe! Who is this man?
Peace, fool. He is my brother.
Another brother? Are there any more of them? Produce them all at once and let me know the worst.
This is the real Leonard, dolt. The other was but his substitute. The real Leonard, I say. My father's own son.
How do I know this? Has he brother writ large on his brow? I mistrust thy brothers. Thou art but a false jade.
They are to be wed this very day. Is not this enough for thee? Come, I am thy Phoebe, thy very own, and we will be wed in a year or two or three at the most. Is not that enough for thee?
Phoebe, hast thou heard the brave news?
Aye, father.
I'm nigh mad with joy. Why? What's all this?
Oh, father, he discovered our secret through my folly, and the price of his silence is...
Phoebe's heart.
Oh, dear, no. Phoebe's hand.
It's the same thing.
Is it?
It is pity, but the colonel had to be saved at any cost. And as thy folly revealed our secret, thy folly must e'en suffer for it. Dame Carruthers!
So, this is a plot to shield this arch fiend, and I have detected it. A word from me, and three heads would roll from their shoulders.
Nay, Colonel Fairfax is reprieved.
Yet if my complicity in his escape were known, plague on the old meddler, has nothing for it.
Hush, pretty one. Such bloodthirsty words ill become those cherry lips.
Sergeant Merrill.
Why, look ye, Chuck. For many a month I've thought to myself, there's snug love saving up in that middle-aged bosom for someone. And why not for thee? That's me. So take heart and tell her, that's thee, that thou, that's me, lovest her, thee. Well, I'm a miserable old man, and I've done it. And that's me. But not a word about Fairfax. The price of thy silence is...
Merrill's heart.
No, Merrill's hand.
It's the same thing.
Is it?
Rapture, when love's votary flushed with capture seeks the notary. Joy and jollity then is polity, reigns frivolity. Rapture, rapture, joy and jollity then is polity, reigns frivolity. Rapture, rapture.
Doleful, doleful, when humanity with its soulful love satanity, courting privity down declivity, see his captivity. Doleful, doleful, courting privity down declivity, see his captivity. Doleful, doleful.
Joyful, joyful, when virginity seeks a coyful man's affinity, fatal glory, bright and glory is a dory. Joyful, joyful, fatal glory, bright and glory is a dory. Joyful, joyful.
Ghastly, ghastly, when man sorrowful, firstly, lastly, of tomorrowful, after tarrying, yields to harrying, goes a marrying. Ghastly, ghastly.
Joyful, joyful.
Ghastly, ghastly.
Joyful, joyful.
Ghastly, 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 ghastly.
Rapture, rapture, when the spontaneity flushed with soulful love, satanity,
court and privity, down declivity, say his captivity.
Rapture, rapture,
court and privity, down declivity, say his captivity.
Rapture, rapture,
doleful, doleful.
Rapture, rapture,
doleful, doleful.
Rapture, rapture.
Womankind, but all the time. pleasure is cloyed. This is a joy beyond alloyed.
Yes, yes, with happiness and souls are cloyed. This is the joy beyond alloyed. With happiness and souls are cloyed.
As he sighed for the love of